Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from sunny Southern California. Actually, sunny red hot California. Oh, Kyrie.
Dear 8 pound, 6 ounce baby Jesus, thank you for giving us Kyrie Irving and his quotes. Amen.
Amen. Right. We'll get to Kyrie Irving momentarily. Simply amazing. Simply amazing. I want to start with this. Last night's game in NBA Finals. How much did you watch? It was over at the half. Literally, series felt over at the half as Goran Dragic hurt his foot, and now Bam Adebayo's hurt his shoulder. Both, by the way, are out for game two. But felt over. Just felt completely and totally over at the half. That's crazy. But I actually feel bad for LeBron James. Look, I know you got people. I saw this quote from Mike Greenberg, who I admire. He's big in this business. He's like, this could be the beginning. It feels like the beginning of something special, like a three-peat, like, easy, dude. The Warriors chose to not compete this year. Next year, the Nets will be legit. We're still, the Nuggets are still at least a year or two away. It feels the same with the Utah Jazz. And oh yeah, by the way, all of these super teams that have been put together, most of them take a year, like the LA Clippers. They're still going to have Kawhi and Paul George, or some mix of somebody with Kawhi if they tries to move on from Paul George, whatever. Like, not excuses, just explanations. And LeBron is going to be a year older. And at 36, things begin to turn. And there were signs this year where he wasn't the same athletically. Now, look, I'm going to give all the credit, or a good portion of the credit, for Anthony Davis's emergence as a superstar in the playoffs to LeBron James. Because the people I know and I trust within the Lakers organization, within the league, are like, look, he is all in on making AD believe that he's as good as anybody who plays the game, and he's playing like it. But, I mean, they didn't play the Clippers. When they played the Nuggets were coming off of 2 7-game series when they had to come back from 3-1 in each of those series. Previous to that, they played the Rockets, who were coming off a 7-game series, and if we're honest, this is the worst Rockets team that they've had in the last 5 years. The coach is gone. They already tried everything to make it work. They only had one way of playing, and no one thought it would work in the playoffs. So, yes, you're in the bubble. Yes, it's taxing mentally. They also got 2 games off when they were fatigued, and they were kind of done with the bubble, and then their families arrived, and it reinvigorated them. So a lot of things have actually gone their way, much like the Warriors when they won their first NBA title, and every team they played had their point guard out for at least 2, if not more, of the games. Remember, Kyrie got hurt in game 1, and Kevin Love didn't even play in the NBA Finals. Those aren't excuses. They're just explanations for an easier path than you normally get. Doesn't mean the Warriors wouldn't have still won. Doesn't mean the Lakers wouldn't have still won. But the idea that a year later, when everybody else is reloading and retooling and should be better and younger, it doesn't feel to me, if you put it into that context, like this is some dynamic dynasty team that everyone in the league is scared of. I talked to one of the coaches of the Clippers last night, and he was like, We win game 5 or game 6. We feel like we're playing today because everyone knows we were the toughest matchup in the league for the Lakers. But look, the Clippers are probably better than the Lakers. They just didn't win one extra game. And because that happened, This is what we're left with. But man, this is going to be a bad series. Tyler Herro was a minus 31. A minus 31. They could not guard Anthony Davis, man or zone. They could not guard LeBron James, man or zone. And they couldn't score and get good looks. The Lakers stomped the Heat, and they missed 13 consecutive threes at one point in the game. Wasn't like they came out and just whap, 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 and hit a button. No, they didn't even shoot well. And you take out Dragic, and you take out Adebayo, which means, Mike, on a Friday night, when most of the country is coming out of quarantine, a lot of the country has Friday Night Lights, high school football. You have date night. You got your family. Friday night, are you going to watch game two for more than a half? And then Sunday night, granted, not a great football game, right? I mean, it's the Niners against the Eagles. Not a great football game, but an important one. But it's the NFL on it. Are you going to switch over? I think we all know the answer to it. It's going to be one of those, it feels slightly bigger than TBT, the basketball tournament, considering it's in a bubble. And that's no fault of LeBron James. No fault. And honestly, no fault of the NBA. They're like, look, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it, and we're going to. And it's been a relative success. But that game didn't feel any different than any other NBA game. And it felt really, really weird and really over at halftime of the first game. And now with your knowledge of those injuries, you almost wish that the Heat would just go, hey, you know what? We're good. We had a good run. We just don't have the dudes for this. And I'm not sitting here saying LeBron is anything short of outstanding. I'm not. And historically, we're not going to look back and go, yeah, he won a title, but he won one during quarantine in the bubble. Nobody's going to do that. I know we don't do that because the Spurs have what? How many titles do they have? And how many came during lockout shortened years? Two of them. But no one mentioned them. No one says, well, you know, David Robinson and Tim Duncan, they won that title in lockout shortened year. Nobody says that. But they do point out that those were the lowest rated NBA finals when they beat the then New Jersey Nets in what was, you go look back, there were some stars in both of those teams. But between style of play, feel of it, just, this wasn't great. I feel bad because what LeBron's done in embracing the coaching of Frank Vogel, in leading this team defensively, in invigorating Anthony Davis, like, that is the stuff of legend. And at 35, he's kept himself in incredible peak physical condition. And I don't think there's any question that he's figured out how to lead this bunch better than Kawhi has figured out how to lead his bunch. Giannis may be more athletically talented at this point in his career than LeBron is, but LeBron understands basketball at a much higher level and is much more refined than Giannis. The case for value and most valuable player could not be made more clear by watching the playoffs. All of that said, dude, nobody's going to watch the next couple games. It doesn't feel like a fair fight. It doesn't feel like it's that fun. It doesn't feel like it's that big, no matter how big it will be viewed historically. All right, coming up next. If you thought that was bad, I give you the Broncos taking on the Jets tonight. There's a lot of talk about the idea of firing Adam Gase if the Jets lose. To me, the scoreboard doesn't matter. I'll explain that next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I would just advise you to just keep it to Fox Sports Radio all day. We got great shows, diverse opinions, personalities. We're all over the country, right? You got Clay, who's who's in Nashville. Ah, the irony of Clay, who's like a coronavirus denier, And the first NFL game to be postponed just happens to be in Nashville with his undefeated Tennessee Titans, who made the playoffs despite the fact that Clay wanted everybody fired midseason last year, is just beautiful. Just beautiful. Then Clay leads into Dan. Dan Patrick, obviously broadcasting from Connecticut, into Colin, who's over on the Fox lot in L.A., up to us here in Sherman Oaks. Colin Cowherd, by the way, said earlier today, he has sources telling him if Adam Gase loses tonight, he'll be fired. They're taking on the Denver Broncos. Ramos, can you name the Broncos' starting quarterback?
No. I was going to say Mullins, but that's the 49ers quarterback, right?
Correct. Okay. That is the San Francisco 49ers quarterback, is Nick Mullins. You want to take a shot?
It was Drew Lock, right?
It was Drew Lock, but he got hurt.
He got hurt.
Yes.
He is
the nephew, I believe, of a Super Bowl champion quarterback.
Bob Bradshaw.
He's the nephew of a former Redskins starting quarterback.
Jeff Rippon.
Close.
Okay.
Really, really close. Is it Jeff or is it Rippon that you're close on?
I'm going to say the Jeff part's the close point one.
No. No. Come on, man.
Okay, Rippon is the one.
Yes. Do you have any idea who it is?
Scott Rippon.
Scott Rippon. That's who it is.
No.
Congratulations.
No, it's not. Are you Scott kidding Rippon. Me?
Yes, I'm kidding you.
Inside the NFL with John Ramos can be heard on Fox Sports Radio, 8 Eastern.
Why don't they let the Ramos guy host? I don't know. He's unbelievable.
Scott Rippon, everybody. That's Scott Rippon. Sunday.
Scott Rippon. Hold on. I'm putting Scott Rippon as my starting quarterback for my fantasy team. Brett Rippon. His name is Brett Rippon. Brett Rippon. Yes, you were going to say.
I was going to say, I don't know any Jeff or Bobs under the age of like 38 years old anymore. So I thought maybe John would go with a little maybe younger name, but he went with.
That is a fascinating thing. Like, I don't think girls aren't named Jennifer anymore. I used to have like always three girls in every class named Jennifer. Right? There's no more Jennifers. Yeah. There's no more Steves or Stevens. I know one Steven. The mom always like, just call him Steven. Like, I can't call him Steve. He doesn't go by Steve. Nobody goes by Steve. Nobody goes by Bill anymore. It's all William or Will. It's the same thing.
Yes, that is true. Right? Will. Yes.
There's plenty of Wills. There's no Bills. You know? Anyway, Brett Rippon is the starting quarterback. So, look, Jeff Driskel is more of an athlete, journeyman backup. So Fangio ends up trying to use Brett Rippon. And the Jets defense actually is not terrible. But, I mean, part of the reason it's not terrible is because they're just down so much that other teams just run the football to get out of there. They're 15th, allowing only 239 yards passing. So the defense is okay. The offense is kind of a joke. It has no playmakers at all. This from Ian Rappaport. Heading into tonight's matchup against the Broncos on the NFL Network, it doesn't appear Gase's job hangs in the balance pending the results of the game. According to those informed of the decision-making, the thinking is that firing Gase will not only be counterproductive in general, but also potentially damaging to quarterback Sam Darnold. Like, this thing that he's done, Adam Gase is like, look, if you fire me, Sam Darnold, circle in the drain. Have anybody watched Sam Darnold play? Like, Sam Darnold is good. He's tough. He's smart. He actually can play the position, and he looks terrible, one, because of the people that Joe Douglas has put around him, and two, some of it's got to be the coaching. Look, I don't care whether he wins or loses. To me, it's about the level of effort and competitiveness you see from this team. If they've quit on Adam Gase, which is what it looked like at times during week one and week two, then you got to say bye-bye. You got to say bye-bye. Is that fair? It's not about wins and losses. It's just more about do the guys look like they're going to compete their asses off for Adam? Because, man, I'm telling you, you're not going to get any easier in terms of opportunities to win a game than at home short week against the Denver Broncos led by Brett Rippon. You're just not. Like, we can talk all the trash we want about the division, you know, but the division, Buffalo's good, New England's good, and they got Arizona next, Then they go to the Chargers, Buffalo at home, at Kansas City, New England, at Miami. By the way, really weird. Did you know that they play Miami two consecutive games? I've never seen that before. Has that ever happened? This is like a buyer's like, yes, it happened in 1978, Wendy. That feels like only Dan Beyer will know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
They play them on November 15th. They have a bye week. Then they play them on November 29th.
Yeah, that is extremely odd.
That is super weird. What if they played them, then they fired Gase, and they play him again, right? And it's like, wait, you play the same team, only a different coach.
New look.
New look. New look. New look. And, oh, yeah, by the way, here's the other one that's weird. The Dolphins have the same schedule. They both have a bye in between. So they literally don't play anybody in between. They play like, you guys want to do this again in a couple weeks? All right, see you then. Later, jersey exchange. Like, do you make a jersey exchange? Like, nah, we'll get to it in 2 weeks. You might get cut in 2 weeks. Anyway, the Gase thing to me, the reason he's got to go is just this. It doesn't look like they'll play for him. And if the tribe has spoken to that level, I don't think you can keep him. Now, if they don't play for him, the scores, they're probably going to get stomped anyway. But I just think you got to, if you're Woody Johnson or you're Joe Douglas, you just got to watch. And you feel like they're not competing for their coach and for their quarterback, you got
to
go.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's welcome in Mike Sando, who's an excellent writer. Check him out in The Athletic at Sando NFL. He's got a new piece out called Execs Unfiltered. How did Lamar Jackson Ravens close the gap with the Chiefs? Let's start with this, Mike. There's been some that are critical of Greg Roman's play calling, saying they got away from who they were because they got down only a touchdown early. Is that the feeling from some of the executives you've spoken with?
Oh, no, not really. I think it's more of an existential thing about, hey, we know how they're set up to play. And when the game shifts, it's not a matter of should Greg Roman have stuck with it a little longer? What? Let's just face it, it shifted. And so they have to be either stop it from shifting by playing a different type of defense, potentially. That was one of the themes that came through. They play a little bit of a gambling defense,
sure.
Gave up a lot of big plays. And then longer term, of course, they have to grow the passing game, right? I mean, that's just a fact of their recent playoffs. And for any team, you want to be able to play. You have to be able to succeed sometimes when you're not playing on your terms, right? So Russell Wilson, he's grown and can do that. Pat Mahomes, he can do that. Aaron Rodgers has always been able to do that. You know, when those guys are behind, the defense is worried. Tom Brady's down 28-3 in the Super Bowl. Defense is worried. For the Ravens, they're so built around, the running of not just Lamar Jackson, but everything else, that the other part of it isn't there yet. They don't have to play that way. They have to play that way about twice a year. And when they do, it doesn't look comfortable.
Okay, so in talking to these executives, do they feel like Lamar has it in him to expand and improve as a passer?
Yes, expand and improve. No, not necessarily unanimous at all that he's going to turn into one of those quarterbacks who's really comfortable with it, you know, which is a very short list, right? We're talking in the league right now, you would say Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers. I mean, I don't think we would even go to Breeze and Watson and the other guys who barely made it or made it into tier one by a smaller margin in my quarterback tiers. So no, I don't think people think he's going to become that, but he can improve in it and become, think of, you know, there's quarterbacks in that second tier who can do it some of the time, right? And can he get to that? Maybe.
You know, you mentioned the gambling defense. That defense is kind of designed to go, it's like congruent with the offense, right? Like they want to get they want to get ahead, get a lead early, and then, you know, try and pound you. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, if you do kind of score quick on them, that's fine because they're going to put you on defense and wear you out with a running game. But more than anything, that was something I talked about yesterday, which is we're so fascinated with Lamar and how feeble he's looked the last two times he's taken on the Chiefs. We haven't pointed out how that defense that's, like, impervious at times to other teams was so penetrable to the Chiefs.
Absolutely. You know, one of the really fascinating conversations I've had with offensive play callers in the last couple of years has crystallized this, that you sort of divide the league into types of defenses. There's the kind of boring but sound, you know, Pete Carroll, he's in his, you know, the same defense every time for 10 years. You know what I mean? Or you see Gus Bradley sort of doing that with the Chargers. Well, those are very sound defenses. They're not very exciting. Sometimes you wish they would roll the dice more and try some different stuff, but there's not gaping holes. Now, there is in Seattle this year. That's not a good example this year. But most years, there's not big breaks, big busts in the coverage. For some of these other ones, and you might put like a Mike Pettine defense in there, right, or this Wink Martindale defense, when you're going to gamble for those big highs, you're going to be exposed. And if you get against an Andy Reid, who not only is a great schemer, but played with Marcus Peters for 3 years. You know what I mean? They really know. Now, they've had playoff game or other big games where they've really grinded the tape. They've really dug in, and they're going to find those advantages.
Mike Sando joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How much, though, does it speak of the greatness of Pat Mahomes that he can – He not only has the arm talent, but the athleticism, and then you surround him with the speed that they have, and it's nearly impossible to contain in any way other than the Gus Bradley style.
Absolutely, and he's going to get better because, remember, he still hasn't seen everything he's going to see, right? The seasoning, all the little stuff. When you watch Aaron Rodgers and you see him just laughably drawing guys off sides and doing all, you know, winking at the referee and doing all the stuff that he's doing in the course of the game as like a doctoral student, that's where Mahomes is going to go. He's already can be as productive with what they've got around him and his skill and what he does know, but he's going to get even better in the finer points of the game as he has more time on task. And what's he got? You know, 3 seasons? It's not very much. He's only going to get better.
Mike Sando joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You mentioned your quarterback tiers to start the season. How surprised are people in the league over Aaron Rodgers' resurgence?
Not at all. I think he had 46 of 50 tier one votes. I was having a conversation this morning with someone. I mean, people in the league have thought Aaron Rodgers has been great the whole time. They have fallen off around him, and the consistency of the offense has faltered as a result of that. And last year they came in with a new scheme and had, if you read my Friday piece before the season, the truth about Aaron Rodgers' stats, it's all about how those receivers left 1,200 yards of opportunities on the field, which is way more than normal. There was 18 balls that could have been touchdowns last year that weren't. You're not going to get all of them, but you should get half of them. It was egregious. So far this season, he's still playing great. And you take your two toughest road venues in Minnesota and New Orleans, let's make them quiet like a church.
Yeah.
Let's let Aaron Rodgers go to work, right? I mean, I think he's been a phenomenal player the whole way through, and as things have fluctuated around him, people are like, Rodgers isn't the same. Put Rodgers in Kansas City. They might be better.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have all of those weapons, and he's played for 10 years, and can totally manage the game in a way that only the Breezes and Bradys can do, but they're not nearly as skilled. Rodgers can still make any throw, except for some of those weird sidearm ones that Mahomes may have an edge in, you know, just the absolute ridiculousness. But Rodgers is ridiculousness. It's not quite that level. But in the quarterbacking of the position and the throws that he makes, where's the gap?
What about Breeze? What are people saying about the fall off of Breeze?
I think people have been anticipating that for a while. You know, there's been a section of the voters in my quarterback tiers every year who are like, all right, I think this is it, you know? And so people have kind of been waiting on him. And now early in the season, I think it's still okay. Look, there's been a little bit of slow start before. They are built around pumping that ball to Michael Thomas. So let's have a few more games. I even remind people on Rodgers, it's 3 games, you know, let's see how it plays out over the season. Rodgers had 3 games last year as good as this year in a row. You know what I mean? Breeze probably had 2 games as bad as he's had this year, last year. So I think you got to let it play out, but you're more worried about Breeze because you've seen physically he's not what Rodgers is, right? I mean, he's a little closer to the end just physically.
Mike Sando joining us, a senior NFL writer for The Athletic, joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so you mentioned how different this season is. Whose performance thus far is the most surprising? Is it Josh Allen?
Well, to some degree, I was just going to say Carson Wentz. I mean, I think that last year we realized that it didn't look good, but we thought, hey, you know what? Wentz was sort of holding it together. You know, it was so bad around him at the receiver position that, you know what, they may not have solved everything this offseason, but hey, they made a draft pick. Maybe they'll be a little bit better around him there, and, you know, it'll be at least business as usual. We're talking about, like, should he be starting still? You know what I mean? I don't think anyone anticipated that. Josh Allen has always had the ability to make a spectacular play. He's still still got 2 15-yard penalties on the last drive. He's holding the ball 10 feet away from his body. He's lowering his head into people. That could all come off the rails at any time, too. You know, just because of that, they could have easily lost that game. And so I think Wentz, to me, is more like we're talking about, is it, you know, is there something incredibly wrong?
Yeah, I also think that Cam Newton was a guy that no one knew if his shoulder was ever going to be right again. Like, there's a lot of discussion about why people passed on taking a look at Cam Newton. We forget that it was during quarantine. We forget that there were so many questions about his shoulder.
Well, yeah, now it's every team should have signed him, right?
Right.
You're an idiot if you didn't sign Cam Newton. Well, he was not available until everyone, a lot of teams had signed Phillip Rivers or whoever, right? So it's a short group of teams. I do think it's a fair criticism, though, to say, why not take a flyer on him if you're one of these teams that doesn't have a guy? I think in the league, people are so afraid of upsetting the wagon or the narrative around their guy. It's all sensitive within the building. They've told the owner that this guy's really going to be the guy. They don't want to do anything to upset that. Well, bull. Toughen up, right? Bring him in, and maybe you'll get your guy to play better. And if he doesn't, then he's not the guy. So I think that you could make the case, certainly for me, like, you know, whether it was the Chargers or, you know, some other teams, that you could have had a slot for him where the fit would have been good. What was the downside?
Yeah. Mike Sando. Mike, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us. It's an excellent piece. Go to The Athletic. It's Execs Unfiltered. How did Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, close the gap against the Chiefs? Again, it's The Athletic. Mike Sando's the author. Mike, thanks so much for writing it.
Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, look, there is a limit. There is absolutely a limit to what people believe Lamar Jackson is capable of. It doesn't mean you can't win. Doesn't even mean you can't win big. But there is a limit to what the realistic expectations might be. Doesn't mean he's bad. Just means that's the thing that he does. And this is what this was always my thought on him as a player. You have created an entire offensive system around what he does best. But what he does best at times is not going to be seen as useful. You know, they're still going to win a lot of games, but they're going to have a lot more things go right for them to win the biggest of big games. Coming up next, the most disappointing team in the National Football League.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Mike Fiers is pitching for the Oakland A's. Help me out, Buyer. If the A's win, they face who?
It's the winner gets the Astros.
Mm. Mike Fiers is a former Astro, is he not?
Yes, he is.
What is he most famous for in his post-Astro tenure?
Probably opening up trash can gates.
He did, right? He was like, yeah, they got us. We were hitting trash cans, whatever. So it's the top of the second innings. It's very early on. What's this series at right now? It's 1-1, right?
Yes, this is the decider.
This is the rubber match, as they like to say. So, Mike Fiers, I so badly want to see him pitch against the Houston Astros. Although, really, you want to see him hit against the Houston Astros, which also won't happen. So, anyway.
As they say, Doug, the two most magical words in sports, game three.
Dan Beyer, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Beyer. Did I tell you that I've cost my son and me the last two fantasy games?
You have mentioned that, yes.
I'm just such a loser. I'm so bad at it. I forgot to take Marlon Mack out of my lineup 2 weeks ago. And then last week, what's the cat from the Jacksonville Jaguars, their best wide receiver?
DJ Chark.
And I saw as soon as DJ Chark
DJ
was out,
Rippin.
As soon as DJ Chark, right? As soon as he came out of the lineup, I was like, oh, I gotta make that change. And then it was in the middle of the radio show, and I think you did the update. Or maybe you were out of town. I won't blame you.
Buyer.
I just didn't get to it. And then, you know, like, and of course, Lamar was my quarterback and he sucked last week. 90 yards passing, and I think one touchdown pass is not going to do it.
I think Doug's team jumped the Chark, don't you?
We did jump the Chark.
So far.
Let's get to what the Fox
said.
Game time.
This is game time.
It's
Games Talk
on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Part of it is I'm really excited about this Kyrie Irving topic, top of the next hour. We'll get to that. That's a tease. We'll get to that. First, let's get to Dan Byer.
Yeah,
what's the game?
The Fox says, let's play this game today.
I feel a draft.
Two-round draft, 8 picks in all. Doug, you on
Oh, that one bounces in.
You on the first overall selection in this draft, a snake draft. White Sox on top of the A's, yeah. 1-0 in the second, but White Sox do have runners on second and third. Doug, you have the first pick. Ryan Music, the second pick. John Ramos then with the third overall selection, and I'll then snake it around at 4 and 5, and we'll work backwards
Ramos,
from there.
Ramos, you want to trade up?
Most disappointing NFL team so far this season. We have had trades before. This apparently is on the trading block. But Doug, you have the first overall pick.
I'm going to trade your entire draft for my first pick, Ramos.
You want me to give you both my picks for the number one pick?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want you to think about it. Think about it. So the most disappointing team in the National Football League?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
All right, the pick is in.
Pick is in. Ramos, want to trade?
No, I'm good. I feel like you got this one good.
Okay. Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings have been a perennial playoff contender.
Pick. That's the one I missed.
Yeah. perennial playoff contender. They're 0-3. I understand you lose to Green Bay at home, but then, you know, you lose to Indy and to Tennessee. Again, three, like, you know, playoff caliber teams, but 0-3 when you re-signed your quarterback and you have consistency there, I would say that's disappointing.
I do just want to interject because you offered Ramos 3 times the opportunity for the first overall pick. He says no, which usually means that he's maybe got 3 teams that he wants to choose from. You take Vikings. He's like, that's who I was going to pick. And so...
Can I just tell you guys something?
Every week this is so good. So good.
Ramos actually wasn't going to take the Vikings.
Oh.
He said, that's the team I forgot. Come to find out, he goes, oh, that's why. I go, what's up, John? He goes, I was only looking at AFC teams.
That's true.
Okay.
All right, Ryan, you're second up with the Vikings off the board.
Oh, man. That's the team I forgot. Okay. I will go with the Houston Texans.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely had higher expectations, I'm sure. A brutal schedule to start the season.
That was my only reason for choosing Minnesota. Minnesota does not have an easy schedule, but it's a tough schedule, but not Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they've had a really, really rough start, but I'm sure at some point they hope to have at least been 1-2, 0-3, not good.
By the way, they play each other this week. We'll see who's more disappointing. All right, Ramos, you're up.
Well, this is what you all been waiting for.
It is.
You can pick the whole league, not just the AFC.
The Buffalo Bills.
I'm going to take the Eagles.
Okay.
I think that they've had high expectations. I think they've just been disappointing. They have a lot of injuries. I mean, DeSean Jackson has been doing very well, and half their wide receiving core is out. But I do think they had higher expectations, so I'll take the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right.
Mike Fiers has been fired. He's being pulled from the game as the White Sox have the bases loaded with Jose Abreu coming up. All right, I got 2 picks here. Last in the first round, first in the second. I am going to go with the Atlanta Falcons for a bunch of reasons. Obviously, how they've lost. They've been unable to get a win so far this season. And I thought the first 4 were pretty unique. I just didn't know what order they would go. And then it's like this next tier of just teams that were bad. And I think that the Jets, who were 7-9 last year, people forget, for how bad it has gone. And even if you're the Giants, you could be like, we don't have Saquon Barkley. Like, we've now lost him. Like, there's a reason.
I don't have Le'Veon Bell.
I think that there's a vast difference between the two. So I would pick
If you're like, okay, we don't have Saquon Barkley, all right, they don't have Le'Veon Bell. It is their star running back.
It is their star running back. But I would also say that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're getting at.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Jets at 5. And the Giants weren't as good last year as the Jets' record was. So
who'd you take it for?
Falcons.
Falcons, yeah. Yeah, another team that, you know, we thought turned around last year and then didn't. All right, who's next?
Ramos.
Ramos.
You already took your two? Okay.
Yes. Falcons and Jets.
That's Dan. Behind you is Ryan. In front of you is Doug.
Hey, by the way, Dan, your first pick again? Just real quick. Who did you take? I mean,
we went over them twice.
I heard the Falcons.
John.
I heard the Falcons. Okay, that's go. What I heard. I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins. I thought they had I know they were only 5-11 last year, but I thought they were heading in the right direction.
Yeah, you thought you listened to Peter King.
Yep. They're 1-2. So I'll take the Miami Dolphins.
Just want to let everyone know we have under 2 minutes. And I am going to go with, I am stuck between two, but I am going to go with
the
New Orleans Saints.
Whoa, yes.
Yeah. I do
You guys
not,
missed him.
They had Super Bowl aspirations, yes. And their 1-2 start has been disappointing, and Drew Brees, I'll go Saints.
Saints are a good pick. I mean, honestly, Saints could have been my number one pick, considering how bad. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I know that everybody else doesn't have expectations. I think they only did lose to the Chiefs, but they barely beat the Bengals to start the season. They lost at home to the Carolina Panthers, who are rebuilding. I know they have really important injuries, and they're starting a rookie quarterback now, but 1-2, considering the loss to Carolina and could have lost or could have gone to overtime with the Bengals to start the season, actually could have lost that game. I'm going to go the Chargers.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Would it be crazy to put Baltimore on that list only in that, though as good as they looked in the two other games, Browns and Texans, I mean, they got embarrassed Monday night. So it's like whatever they did in the offseason, and they're in the exact same place against, and maybe in a worse place against the Chiefs.
I almost took the Cowboys.
I don't think that's that far off. But again, that's about expectations. So it's Mike, your fires. Is that okay? Can I go with that? Is that too cheesy? Might be. Kyrie Irving is exactly who you think he is, and maybe more so. I'll explain next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.